In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Have you ever found yourselves in a place when it seems like you have seen or heard something before, and more than once, more than twice, perhaps beyond that, beyond your patience? Whether by accident or on purpose, most of us have had that experience. Whether it meant reading a favorite book over again, or playing a song until you wore it out, or watching the same episode of a show, even though there are 5,000 gazillion channels on your cable package, and you think that there's really nothing else good on. Or maybe the preacher, he or she, has told the same story more than once. It has been known to happen. No disrespect to the folks who put together our lectionary, but we heard a lot from John's Gospel during this Easter season. Beginning with chapter 14, you may have noticed that Jesus did a whole lot of speaking on the night before his passion and death. Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, and they have eaten their final meal together. Judas disappears to somewhere unknown to them, and Jesus begins his discourse. He tells them that he is about to leave them, and there are some things they should know. Among them, love, love, love. Abide, abide, abide. I am going away, but I will not totally leave you. In a way, during this discourse, it is almost as if Jesus is saying, if you didn't hear me the first time, let me say it another way. But here's the thing, church. Given the circumstances, the disciples were in need of reassurance. After all, they had been with Jesus for at least 3 years or more. They have heard him teach and preach. They have seen the miracles. They saw the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. They have seen Jesus raise the dead to life, and they witnessed him feed thousands with a couple of fish and a few pieces of bread. They came to know Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one sent by God. And now he is talking about leaving them. He is talking about suffering and dying and being raised from the dead. It was a lot to take in, and Jesus knew that. Jesus knows our human nature, that when we get excited or anxious or nervous or afraid, or when we are in need of reassurance, sometimes it takes us hearing something again and again. Earlier in chapter 14, Jesus reassured his friends that they would not be left alone. He would not leave them alone to figure things out for themselves. In fact, he said to them, I will not leave you orphaned. And do not be afraid. And he promised them, as he does again in this morning's gospel, that he would send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to be with them, to guide them, to give them the words they would need to proclaim the good news, to continue his mission. We know that on the third day, Jesus appeared to his disciples, who had locked themselves in behind closed doors to prove that he had indeed done what he had said, rise from the dead. And he reminded them of his promises that they and we would never be alone. On this feast of Pentecost, the story continues, and Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, paints a vivid picture for us of a morning unlike any other. You see, in the city of Jerusalem was a convergence of Jewish people from every nation who had come to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, also known as the Day of the First Fruits, also known as Pentecost. But elsewhere within the city, there was another gathering. The disciples of Jesus sat huddled together in a house behind closed doors. They sat in fear and in waiting. They sat in fear, thinking that in any moment, the people who killed Jesus would kill them too. But they were also waiting for the one Jesus had promised, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the parting gift Jesus had promised after he ascended to the Father. With rushing winds and tongues as of fire, the disciples experienced the awesome presence of God, the Spirit of God, who was present at the creation of the world, had burst forth into that place and descended upon each and every one. It should occur to us that this was not just the sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove that we sang about in our opening hymn. This was the Holy Spirit that at the creation of the earth swept over the face of the deep. This was the Spirit that blew breath into clay formed in the image of God, humankind. This was the Spirit that breathed life into dry bones. This was the Spirit who appeared at Jesus' baptism and solidified Jesus' identity as God's chosen and beloved Son. This was the presence that Jesus had promised. This was the Spirit who would lead the disciples and guide them and gift to each one new courage, new energy, new hope, and new vision. And before they knew it, this same Spirit had enabled them to preach God's word. She enabled them to spill out into the streets, even though there were those who thought they were drunk, and out into the world. Every year we hear this remarkable story of Pentecost, the day that the Spirit blew doors open and rained down power from on high. We hear this story, and we remember how the first disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and were sent out from beyond those closed doors and beyond the shores of Galilee and out into the ends of the earth to witness to the good news of God in Christ. And because of their witness and the witnesses of others, the church was birthed. And we find ourselves praying for a day such as that. As we pray, come Holy Spirit, and shed abroad this gift throughout the world. And as we sing, stay right here with us. But the truth of the matter is that Pentecost, like resurrection, comes again and again each and every day. It wasn't a once and for all occurrence. What makes the Pentecost experience memorable is that the Spirit of God became manifest in an oh so special way. Pentecost continues to happen when we allow God's Spirit to become manifest in us. It is a story that is still being written as the Spirit of God continues to be present within the world and within us. For God's Spirit continues to give us courage, energy, hope, and vision. She continues to lead us and guide us so that we too may be witnesses to the risen Christ and to the power of God. Like the disciples, we are assured and reassured that we do not go it alone. The Holy Spirit is with us in the valleys and in the shadows of life. The Holy Spirit is with us when we don't know what to say or what to do or where to go as we make this journey together. The Holy Spirit is with us because we cannot do this work by ourselves. Today, more than ever, we need the Spirit to come upon all flesh so that a new earth and a new world can come to fruition, because too many people are left powerless and afraid, uncertain, and without hope. We need our sons and we need our daughters to prophesy and not fear the craziness and uncertainties and struggles of this world. We need both young and old and those in between, children, men and women, to see visions and dream dreams. We need the Holy Spirit to continue to pour out her power and energy to help overcome the darkness. With the help of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, helper, counselor, and guide, you and I can continue the story of that first Pentecost and be the church that we are meant to be. A community of faith, unafraid of using our gifts and resources. A community that is not afraid to vision, to dream, and more importantly, to act. Not just for our welfare, but for the welfare of our community, city, diocese, and yes, the world. O Spirit of the living God, come upon us and upon the world. Breathe on your people as you did on the day of Pentecost. Help us to be the people we are meant to be, unafraid and committed to God's will and God's way. Lead us and guide us, we pray. Amen.